Okay, so Poschim Mechvod Achsanya. First and foremost, the Chizuk Mission, Barry, Aviva, Mamish Agoysi Yashakoach, to having the fortitude to push ahead that it worked out tonight. To Hava for opening her beautiful home. She should have a lot of Shefa Bracha and Simchas and be able to use her for a tremendous amount of Chesed and just good things, and then ultimately bring him to, with her to Eretz Yisrael. We'll find you a hilltop and plenty of trees by me. Not this tall, but plenty of trees. Some of you, I know, some of you are new, and what we're going to do tonight is something that is very, very different. And I'm going to ask you to really step outside of the head and move more into the experiential, into the heart, into the connection. And if that scares any of you, the door is right there. And now is a good time to leave. Otherwise, I really want us to work together. I personally think it's going to be very exciting, and I have a little confession to make. My confession is the wrong word. Disclaimer, maybe I shouldn't make it. It's that I have a vision. I have a vision of doing what we're going to do here. I want to do it in many, and I want to do it in many different places. I want to. And you're the guinea pigs. And it's great to start with friends. It's great to start with people who we have, so many of us, such a connection on such deep levels that we spend hours together. We'll leave it at that. So this is how we're going to work today. We will have a booklet with pen attached, some big, small, doesn't matter the size. Does everyone have one? Yeah? Okay. So we're going to be doing tonight is we're going to be doing some singing, some learning, some journaling, some singing, some learning, some journaling. Then we're going to play some songs, some learning, some journaling, play another song, some learning, some journaling. And I'm hoping in the time that we have, there are lights that go on in here, yeah? Out here?
Be that late.
It's 4 hours. I apologize.
It's a good laugh. I love listening to you, but 4 hours is a long time.
Look, if you want transformation, it's not going to happen overnight,
that's
Miriam.
True.
You know, it has to work. Okay. No, it's not going to be that long. But there will be lights, yeah, if we need them? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
No.
You're mochomi? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. I need that.
You get really nervous.
I am nervous. Okay. So I'm very excited because I think that this could be life transformative. But let's work together. Elul is known as a time of eight ratzon, a time of favor. And the question the Mefarshim ask is, well, what does that mean? It's a time of favor. I know the king is in the field. This is like, you know, the perfect place to learn about this. So there are many understandings of Chazal. I want to share. We're coming in the middle of a shir in source 33. It says this Vasemes, I'm in the asterisks. Al mishkal dream elu mevera sasemes ki gam midat haratzon shomala heina poel yotzei mimasei b'nei adam. Adam, so you want to tell me that Elul is a time of eight ratzon, a time of favor. So the sasemes says, I have a little secret to tell you. The time of favor, the energy of that Hashem is close to us, is really ultimately dependent on us, on where we are at. It's based on where we're at. And he says, I'm in the bracket, Perush, Shebnei Yisrael Ma'orim Ritzono Yisparach. We awaken the Ritzon of Hashem. Kedimayon Ben Chaviv Sheba Lifnei Aviv. Like a beloved child who comes before their father. Mitarer Bo Tanug V'Ritzon. We awaken desire. And he says, Uchemochen, Kishibene Sel Nigashim Elav Bitfila, when we turn to Ibn Shalom in Tfila, whether formal Tfila, informal Tfila, Mitorir Eight Ratzon. This is, though it awakens Hashem's closeness to us. It's dependent on us. Have Omer and the asterisk, Shavoda Hayot Chodesh Elu Moed Chalei Ratzon. The idea of Chodesh Elul is a Meiratzon. There's a double aspect. On the one hand, Zoa Moed Shazman Karebo Livnei Adam Lachzor B'Tshuva. On the one hand, it's an Eiratzon. It's a time of favor where Hashem says, do tshuva, come closer to Him. Umeidach Hitkarvutam Shal Yisrael. And at the same time, when we come closer to Hashem, it causes Lahafalat HaRatzon HaElyon Klapeyem, Hashem's Ratzon being awakened to us. And that, my friends, is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Ani L'Dodi, when I am to my beloved, when I connect to Hashem, when I come close to Hashem, that then creates the reality of V'Dodi Li. Rafinkus 34, Elul's the time of closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It cannot constitute merely a temporary friendship, for this is not called beloved. This is a time to acquire a relationship with Hashem. We are saved from the judgment through the embrace of a Kodesh Baruch Hu by building a closeness of connection with Him, which is the main avoda of these days. And this is one of the foundations of Yiddishkeit that have become so forgotten to us. Our Yiddishkeit, our mitzvos and tefillos are just buttons that we need to press. Indeed, systems definitely exist. There are systems of tefillah. But the foundation of everything is my beloved. Verali Elohim Veruach Chadesh Bekirbi Leshar. Ruach Nachav This is it. We have to ask for a Lev Tahor. We just can't create a Lev Tahor. At the same time, the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't going to give us a Lev Tahor unless we really what? We want it. We desire it. The relationship has to be a relationship where we have to want closeness, where we have to desire it. You know, sometimes you say to yourself, well, you know, if I were only, if you were only, what are you doing about it? Are you davening? Are you desiring it? And we have to understand the impact, and this really dovetails with what Zahava said. If we really want something and we really ask for something, then we're opening a shefa from Shemayim. But the initiative, the Yisrusa Dilatata, has to come from us. And it has to come from us in a genuine way. not to just go through the motions and say, well, I don't feel anything. Yeshaya HaNavi, 35. Their fear of me was like a human command performed by road. Mitzvot HaNashim Ulumada. Their fear of me. It's talking about their Yira Shamayim. Even a person's fear of heaven can be by road. Can be of habit without thought. And our perception of Hashem, and this is mamish what we're learning together, many of us in Ben Melech, of Hashem, of the Siddur, and the Chumash is that of a five-year-old child. I learned this. I know this. And we serve Hashem from that position. And we're 50 years plus, 70 years plus. And we're still serving Hashem like a little child. We're benching like a child. We're davening like a child. We haven't grown up. And what this really takes, and this is the eight rutzon, this is the, what's the energy in the air, and it already started on Shabbos, Shabbos of Archim. We're in the zone already, even though we're not in Elul yet. After Chamisha Sar Be'av, we start writing Siva Chasima Tova on our letters. We're in the zone. Yeah. We're in the zone. We're in the zone of connection. The zone of connection has to start with one word, Ratzon. Ratzon, says the Sfat Semes, is the same letters as Sinor, conduit. The Ratzon is the only thing in our hands. All results are in the Ribbono Shalom's hands. But what is ours is Ratzon. Do I really desire it? Do I really want it? Pitzchuli petach yichudo shamachar. Chavetz Chaim once said, if he noticed that in 36, the bracha v'tova meiti, birkas hamazon, were asking for no less than 15 different things. You ever noticed it? Do you ever focus in on it? Do we notice those requests? If not, because we got into the habit of reciting birkas hamazon while we're still in preschool. That's why the work of Elul is to do away with rote, to stop doing things just out of habit. To become like a maiden, like a Baal Tshuva, who recently come close to Hashem. Newness. Practice Avodas Hashem is the first time we approach the Siddur. Here's the first journaling question. So when I say a first journaling question, is you take a fresh page, you write down the journal prompt, and the question is, what mitzvah in Elul would you like to, what mitzvah in Elul would you like to make new? What mitzvah that you are doing in Elul that you would like to make new?
Write the answer?
Yeah, now you're writing the answer. And when you journal, it's whatever comes to your mind. Let's take another minute. When you finish writing, now look over what you wrote. Skip a line. Look over what you wrote. And now reflect. What did you notice? What did you see? Why do you think you chose this one? Use your intellectual part of you to evaluate what you wrote. Skip a line. And now write an evaluation. Gee, that's interesting, I chose that. I wonder how I can implement it. Evaluate what you wrote. Okay, anyone here would like to share what they gained in insight or anything that would you feel would be worthy of sharing from doing this exercise? Go ahead. Okay, somebody else? We have Ben Adam Lamakom. We've had two Ben Adam Lachaveros. Let's move on a little bit, my friends. Here we go. Once we understand 37... We're going to be going back and forth. Are you following this? Yeah?
I like it.
Once we understand that our purpose in this world is to achieve closeness to Hashem, we need to change our fragmented approach to Torah and mitzvot. Most people tend to think that the main thing is just a superficial action, getting it done, and they therefore don't place much emphasis on how they go about their mitzvot. They view the infusion of concentration and meaning into mitzvot as a cherry on top. In truth, however, the primary aspect of the mitzvah is not the action itself, but the heart behind it. Rachman Libabai, Hashem wants our heart. Similarly, Masil Sasharim writes that our mitzvah actions alone are not sufficient. Most important thing is the pure intention of a person's heart. Two people can perform the same mitzvah, and while their deeds appear identical on the surface, they're actually worlds apart, since the quality of the action is measured by the heart and the intent that goes into it. The respective actions can be compared to two objects that are gold on the outside, but one is merely gold-plated and the other is solid gold. Mm-hmm. As the Orcho Tzadikim writes, one who performs a mitzvah with joy receives 1,000 times more reward than one who performs a mitzvah joylessly. And we're going into Kasher Tziva Hashem, Rabbi Garfinkel's Sefer, again, Sari Chavin Rigler has similar. And he speaks about Hashem knows the thoughts of man. He sees whether a person had kavanah, his actions or not. His rewards based on how much kavanah was present. The absence of kavanah is strongly felt in the heavenly worlds above. And the example that he gives that I've mentioned many times, because it's one of my favorite pieces in this sefer, is the kala receives a bouquet of roses from her chassan, will immediately look to find the card that he wrote to her attached to the bouquet. If she does not find it, she'll surely be disappointed. The flowers may be beautiful, but what she really wanted was a heartfelt message from her chassan. Similarly, if we send a mitzvah to Hashem but fail to attach the kavanah that is being done for him, then the connection that this mitzvah was supposed to cultivate will be sorely lacking. And what's even worse is, if he does write the note and he says to the kala, I want you to know, kala dear, my mom told me I should write this note. If all of our mitzvahs are done because we were taught this way, pretty sad. Rav Dessler explains, persons machshavos, 40, originating in the neshama, the highest level of the human soul. The neshama itself is derived from Hashem's heavenly spirit. Vayipach ba'pav nishmas chayim. And our job is to be able to come back to that level. Chazal teach that a mitzvah has two parts, a body, which is the physical act of the mitzvah, and a soul, which is the kavanah. A mitzvah done without kavanah is like a guf below neshama, like a body without a soul. Here's our next journaling. Describe a mitzvah that you feel you do have kavanah when you do, when you perform it. And again, in journaling, it's not a one-line answer. It's a free flow of, without thinking, a description, why you're connected to this, what the kavanah looks like. Yeah. Now again, skip a line and read over what you wrote. What did you notice? What surprised you? What you recognize? Evaluate. Okay, who would like to share? One more idea of mitzvah that one does b'kavana. Okay, again, the goal of tonight is getting us to what?
Think.
To think. Are you following? Just to ask ourselves these questions. Not necessarily get to the answers, but to try to pinpoint what mitzvah do I need to work on? What mitzvah do I want to work on? What mitzvah do I already feel some level of connection? How can I add a little bit more? Let's go into 43. Says Rav Gamliel, Et Yemea Elul Efshar Lenatzel Limeitz Karvus Sel Hashem Yisbarach. Elul is a gevaldic time to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Omnam O Derech Yesh Lemalei Et Hayamim Halalu Mitoch Daiga Dagat Hadam Latzmo.
What number?
43? Did I lose you? Okay. A person could use Elul to come closer to Hashem, or can use Elul as a completely egotistical centered time. Shemavakesh Adam Shilu Chayim Tovim, I want a good life. Now you're right. He recognizes, or she recognizes, that I'm not going to have a good year unless Hashem gives me this year. So obviously, it's connection to Hashem. At the same time, it has really nothing to do with Hashem. It has to do with what?
Him.
Me. It has to do with me, exactly. And he says, in the asterisks, one way, shumechapesa tovato haishi, v'derech hacheret, hishmevakesh adam liyo karev el Hashem barach. These are the two options. Closer to what I'm going to gain, or closer to Hashem. V'yitbonen hadam ba'atzmo lasod habirur ha'amiti. Mahu mevakesh. What do you really want? Do you want a good year for yourself and your family? Nothing bad should happen, and that's why I'm doing tshuva? Or do you want real relationship, real closeness? And he says it's no wonder that right after Elul is over, what normally happens with our Kabbalos? Why? Because it had nothing to do with Hashem. It had to do with ourselves. If only you want to reach Lishma, it doesn't work otherwise. We throw that line around a little bit too freely. Mitosha Lishma, Balishma, Rav Dessler, that tells us only if you want to reach Lishma. I want a relationship with Hashem, so I'm asking for the things that I need as a medium of recognizing my reliance on Him, my reality of putting Him into my life. But if it's only about myself, it's going to be limited. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example, and hopefully it doesn't apply to anybody here, but an example. A person has a relative who's very, very sick in the hospital. And what they're spending the day doing, I've been taking care of their relatives, is they're davening to Hashem. They're davening for a full shlema. Now, why are they davening to Hashem? Because they know He's the one for Kolim. So Lamai said they do want the relationship, but they really want the person to get better. Mm-hmm. So to say that by davening for a good year, yeah, it is egotistical, but Lamai said the Kodesh Baruch Hu was given in this time, I don't know anybody doesn't have tremendous challenges. So to say we're going to just daven for a relationship.
No. I'm davening, you're right. I'm davening in order to, but again, the Zach is, I hear your question if you go, but the Zach is the following. if a person has challenges in life and their tefillos aren't answered, are they still connected to Hashem?
That's the question.
That's after the fact.
No, it's not. Because that's the mindset that I'm going into the relationship. Hashem, I am having a relationship with you. I am connecting with you. Exactly. No matter what. That's bittul. Whether you're going to answer me or not. I want a good year. That may be true. At the same time, what is my real, real desire is Lev Tahor Parali Elokim, V'ruach Nachon Chadesh B'Kirbi. What I want and why I'm here is closeness. If you, you're right. However, if you really wanted that relationship with Hashem, so then throughout the year, every day, you're going to what? You're going to pick up that momentum. You have to, or at least you have to try. The fact that you only tune in when it's Elul is tuning in only when Rachman Litzlan, you have somebody who's sick in the hospital. And as soon as whatever happens, so then, okay, I'll still dive in, but I'm missing the intensity. And this is the question we have to ask ourselves as we enter into this period. Rav Pinchas Zatzal says, one of his first maimorim in Elul, he says, when we enter into Rosh Chodesh Elul, we have to ask ourselves, what is our goal? And our goal is the grand finale of Shmini Atzeret. Ata harei soldat simchas Torah, ki Hashem Elokim ein od mevado. Elul is a medium going through all the chagim. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Shmi Tshuva, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, simchas Torah, for one thing. Ein od mevado.
Can I just enter? That's it. I find it easier, the other part, the Elul, the part to the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Kippur. I find it very hard to connect on Simchas Torah.
Okay, so that is already a separate question of connecting on Simchas Torah. That deserves attention. It deserves attention. In Eretz Yisrael, Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeret are Hainu Hach, the same day. Mm-hmm. Because... because really the goal of Shmini Atzeret is no mitzvos. It's just being with Hashem. You're asking a separate question, which is an important question, which I'm not touching on now, of Simchas Torah, connection, women, not for today, because I'm going to get distracted and I can't be distracted now. What? And therefore, source 44, second paragraph, Elul Zman Ratzon Hainu Shein Yamim Yuchadim Shel Shefa Elokim. 44. Elul is a time of Shefa Elokim, a tremendous amount of goodness that just rains from heaven. Shashem Yitbarach Mechalek Et Shifo HaGadol. Hashem is it's a storehouse of amazing things. Anything that you try in Elul is going to have a tremendously greater siyata d'shmaya than the entire rest of the year. Built into Elul is closeness. Built into Elul is siyata d'shmaya. We have to want to tap into that. We have to want to desire this feeling of connection, which leads us to our third journaling. Anyone want to tell me what you think that is? Okay, here goes. Describe what type of relationship do you want to have aside from your requests? What type of relationship do you want with Hashem aside from just someone to ask requests? Aside from a vending machine, what is another aspect of that relationship?
Can you say that again?
Aside from just asking requests, what is your desire? How do you view this relationship? What do you want from this relationship? skip a line and reflect. Okay, who would like to share what they envision in this relationship? Okay, let's take a look at one more idea of eight Retzon, and we're going to segue a little bit around here. I just want to share this idea because it's just dramatic, and that is in Rav Brazil's Sefer B'Sharei HaMoadim. Most of us here do not go to shul during the week on Monday and Thursday in Kriyas HaTorah. We have no clue. We have no clue of what goes on in shul. On Monday and Thursday, they read the Torah. After they read the Torah, before they bring the Torah back, the Chazan says, I'm in 45, a bunch of Yehi Ratzot. Yehi Ratzot may be the will of our Father who's in heaven to establish the house of our lives, settle his presence. May be the will of our Father who's in heaven to have mercy upon us. May be the will. You see all these Yehi Ratzot in 45? The last one is Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael Nesurim Batzara Bashivya, which we all know has become more famous because of October 7th. Ask the Sarah Shalomi Bells in 46, why doesn't this have a Yehi Ratzon in front of it? Every one of them has a Yehi Ratzon, and Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael just begins without a Yehi Ratzon. And listen to what he says. The T rates in the underline. Here goes. Mishum de ein lecha yehi ratzon lifnei avinu shemashamayim dola mizu. There's no greater yehi ratzon. There's no greater eight ratzon in shemayim than when a Jew feels the pain of another Jew. What is the eight ratzon of Elul? The eight ratzon of Elul is our ben adam lechaveiro. The Ratzon of Elul, what creates this environment, this energy of Elul, is how we treat others. 48. Pamamar Sabal Misabadka Bazel Lashon. 48. Ech Efshar Lavor et Yemei Hadin Rak Bitschok Al Panav. How can you get through Elul? This is Victor Miller's, that's like, quoted it on Shabbos, just by smiling. By your Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Is what Hashem wants from you. You want to create this moment, this momentum of closeness to Hashem? It's through what? It's through the way we interact with others.
So Ani L'Dodi, the Dodi Li, is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro?
We never teach it that way, right. But you could teach it that way. It's not pshat in the pasuk, but it's definitely a drash, yes. This is Rabbi Brazil is quoting from the Sar Shalomi Bells. The bells are Rabbi. Now,
there's also the what you said. The Shatil was Elul.
That's what I'm doing. You took the words out of my mouth. Ish Sarayeo Matanos Lavyonim is that. 50. Source 50. Here we go. Ben Melech. Hey, we know Ben Melech. Here we go. Bottom left. You have to get used to my handwriting.
No, your misorders.
You know what? I'm a dynamic
snipper
in process. Shorash mitzvah, it goes 46, then 47, 48, 49, 50. It follows in order. Shorash mitzvah tzaddaka, right? Tshuva tfilo tzaddaka, mavir rota gzera. The mitzvah tzaddaka is largisha tazulat. And the greatest level of stukka is to be an ayin tova. Avodat halev shel stukka, he lowly stapek b'maisa stukka lanim levad. It's not only about giving stukka, but wanting b'tovat hazulat, lismoach b'tovat kol adam, to be happy for somebody. to treat others with an ayin tova, and when you treat others with an ayin tova, you bring down what? An ayin tova to yourself as well. It's a whole Tomer Devorah. My friends, this is our last one in this group before we move to a whole different topic, is the next journaling. And that is, in what area of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro would you like to work on? Skip a line, reflect. Okay, who would like to share? Just listening and really listening to someone, listen silent, silent the mind as well. Okay, patience. Just look at them as a Tzelem Elokim, ever in the world. This is excellent. So we have patience, we have tolerance, we have listening. Okay, my friends, let's regroup. We spoke about now that Elul's, just to recap, that we spoke about Elul's innate Ratzon, Lev Tahor Brali Elokim, Veruch Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi, Yisusa Da Tata. We have to take the initiative. We have to be the ones who have to have this desire of connection to Hashem. And we have to ask ourselves, what mitzvot do we want to work on? What mitzvot do we want to work on? We have to ask ourselves, what mitzvot do we already have kavana in? What areas are we already connected? What areas do we want to connect with Hashem differently than just asking for a shopping list? What are the aspects of a real relationship with Him? And to ask ourselves in our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, where's the work? And again, this is the eight Ratzon. This is the work in our Avodas Hashem. So there were two more things I wanted to do, but the hour is late, so I'm only going to do one out of the two. The next one is all, both of them are all in English. So you can read it. It's a butterfly song of A.B. Rodenberg. And a very beautiful medrash about Yusta. So I'm not going there tonight. Maybe another time we get together, we'll do that. So I'd like to go from a whole different angle. The what I'm skipping is about developing yourself and finding your voice. We're not doing that tonight. Another time. I want to speak about another nekuda, about relationship and about a relationship with Hashem. I want to play a song. want to do a piece from Rabbi Wywy, who's always amazing, Rabbi Wywy Jacobson. And I want to do a very important journaling. Okay, and then we'll maybe sing for a minute or two because I don't have such strong singers here, but we're trying. We're trying. And then we'll find final comments. I'm on page 31. These pages are from the course that I teach in seminary on Hanigun Shevalev, where we do a song and we learn and we journal. And this is a whole course, a whole year course in seminary.
Lucky girls.
So, Sha'arecha Heim Dovkim. Kanim Vitalim. This is one of the most powerful, the music and the singing. It describes how this is an Elul song. How on, do you ever see page 31?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have it.
How on your gate they are knocking. Sakon lechashim keshov kashochein ma'alim. I called my daughter today and I asked her, could you translate for me Sikon lechashem? Which she described as lechashim is to whisper, and sikon is like this depth of pleading from the innermost parts of yourself. It's like coming from like a real depth of entreating to Hashem. Kshovka shochei ma'alim. Hashem, listen. Ki atah rav slichot u'bala rachavim. You're the one who forgives. And I'm turning to you from the depths of my being. Sha'arei shamayim p'tach, the gates of heaven open, v'otzarcha hatov lanu tiftach, and open up for us the goodness. Sha'arei shamayim p'tach, and then it just repeats itself. If you know the song, you can sing along. Okay, we'll come back to the song. I want to do a little bit of it's very, just hold this moment. The quiet, the trees, the birds. And we're going into the Elul. We're going into Elul, and we need this inner tranquility to be able to weather the storm of so much introspection, etc. I want to do a piece, and I'm just going to go through this very briefly, and we'll have a short journaling that it's absolutely stupendous. It's based on the story of in the Chumash of the Klai Yisrael when they complain. And Hashem sends out these fiery serpents. And when they daven to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, put a fiery serpent on top of a pole, and that when you look up at that serpent, then you'll be healed. And the obvious question is, usually when you look at that which bites you, it has a further harm rather than good. Why dafka was it that to put the fiery serpent on the pole? That's where you get the medical symbol from. Yeah, good. Good. So that's Chazal. You're right. I want, but why dafka put a Sefer Torah up there? Mm-hmm. Why the Nachash? That's my question.
For the medicine team, they give you a little bit of
opportunity. Yeah, okay, yeah. Good. Okay, that's Ramban. 20. Page 20. Well, now I'm moving to page 21. A Tale of Two Snakes. The snake in the biblical story, as all biblical stories capturing the timeless journeys of the human psyche, is also a metaphor for all the snakes in our lives. Ever been bitten by a venomous snake, poisoned by harmful people, burnt by life, or by abusive situations? Have you ever been crushed by a clueless principal? When I teach this to girls, they're all nodding their head, like universally. A manipulative boss, a deceiving partner, a toxic relationship? Were you ever backstabbed by people you trusted? Is your anxiety killing you? Are you weary and demoralized by your life experience? Can any of us relate to any of the questions on that?
Yes.
What is the deeper meaning of the suffering? How do some people know how to accept affliction with love and grace? These are good questions that cannot be answered easily, if at all. But one perspective is presented in this story. The key to healing, the Torah suggests, is not by fleeing the cause of the suffering, but by gazing at it. Don't run from the snake, look at it. Because deep inside the challenge, you will find the cure. Deep inside the pain, you will find the healing light. But there's one qualification. You must look up to the snake. You must peer into the reality of the snake above, on top of the elevated pole, not on the serpent crawling here below. The Austrian-British philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein, who had been three Jewish grandparents, okay, we don't need to hear all about that, once said, this I love, that his aim as a philosopher was to show the fly the way out of the fly bottle. The fly keeps banging its head against the glass in a vain attempt to get out. The more it tries, the more it fails, until it drops from exhaustion. The one thing it forgets to do is to look up. Every experience in life can be seen from two dimensions, from a concrete earthly perspective or from a higher, more sublime vantage point, appreciating its true nature and meaning from the divine perspective. There's a snake down here, and there's a very same snake up there. I can experience my challenges, struggles, and difficulties in the way they're manifested down here, but I can also look up at these very same struggles from a more elevated point of view. The circumstances may not change, but their meaning and significance will. From the downer perspective, these challenges, curveballs, painful confrontations, realizations can throw me into despair or drain me of my sap. From the higher perspective, the way Hashem sees these very same realities, every challenge contains the seeds for rebirth. Within every crisis lies the possibility of a new and deeper dimension, discovery. Many of us know that from our own personal stories, events at the time were so painful to endure in retrospect were those that inspired the most growth. Those painful events moved us from the surface to the depths, challenging us to become larger than we ever thought we can be, and stimulating conviction and clarity unknown to us before. This is not about suppressing the pain. It's about taking the pain back to its deepest origin, going with it back to its primal source. To perceive clarity from the midst of agonizing turmoil, we must train ourselves to constantly look upward. When faced with the snake with a challenge, many people look to the right, to their left. They fight, they cave in, but there's another path. Look upwards. See the snake from the perspective above. And in that upward gaze, you might find a new sense of healing. The questions might become the very answers. The problems may become the solutions. And the venom may become the cure. Last page. It's a very safe...
When you're saying looking up at the nakas, you mean viewing the crisis from the perspective of Hashem?
Exactly. From the perspective of Hashem, that he's giving it to you for you to grow. He's giving it to you. Yeah, I'm right here. The same is true by Moshe. The source of the affliction itself becomes the remedy. This is true in the areas of life. As viewed by the Creator from the perspective of above, transgression is the potential for a new self-discovery. Failure is the potential for deeper success. Holes in a marriage are the seeds for renovation to recreate a far deeper relationship. The end of an era is always the beginning of a new one. Pain is a springboard for deeper love, and frustration is the mother of a new awareness.
Wow.
The challenges themselves is what breeds growth and rejuvenation. Here is the journal question, a little bit different. You're welcome. And that is, what blocks us? Or let me rephrase it. In what way are we like the fly in the bottle? What blocks us from looking up? What blocks us from being able to, what you were saying, to be able to really grow from our challenges? You have to think. That's why we're here. Yo, yo, you follow me. What did you say? Okay. Who did we reflect?
No, we didn't reflect.
Reflect. I'm in a situation, and I just want to blame everyone around me, and I just want to be frustrated, and I just want to say that life isn't fair.
Oh, victim mentality.
Yep. Or do I say, how do I grow from this?
In my writing, it's almost uncanny. Mamish.
Okay, who would like to share this?
Could you repeat the question before we repeat it?
Sure. What is blocking us from looking up? Why don't we look up at the snake? Why are we like this fly bottle? They're the problem, and they're the problem, and if this didn't happen to me, and that didn't happen to me, then life would be better, and we don't grow from the situation. Could you hear
much,
that?
Yeah, it's much easier not to be honest, and I'd much rather not face reality when things are not going good for me.
Good. Go.
You have to look at ourselves.
Stubbornness
so we become very stubborn. And I think when we're stubborn, we're stuck like this. And it's interesting because sometimes we think when we've had enough, we just say, okay, I'm just going to give up. But really, we give up.
Love it. That was beautiful.
To look up, that is beautiful.
That's beautiful.
When the fly finally gives up, he's like, okay.
Then that's it. Good. So who would like to share with me a reflection that they gained from this? What's blocking us? As a reflection of what did I notice, how I can change this? The Eretzon of Elul is to stop, get off the merry-go-round, and be able to look at the things in our lives that we are like the fly going around and around, hitting ourselves against the bottle and stop. Why are we experiencing this? What can we grow from this? What's the lesson we can learn? How can I become a better person as a result of this? And in reality, I think it is less exhausting than flying around in that bottle. Being able to have the courage to really what? Look at ourselves. If do we have time for this last one or not? If you have to go, you have to go. They have to travel.
Lakewood one?
Okay. So since we have a chashav arachat here, we'll do what I skipped. And it's mamish from the Abishter who says, you know what? Shira, don't skip it. You wanted to do it. There's a reason why. And there's a reason why you went back to it. The Rebbe Shalom's running this. My friends, this is page number 28. We know that Rav Wallerstein Zatzel was one of his main images, and it's on the book, is the butterfly. And this song is in written for his chus. Let's take a look at this. We'll do Yusta for a few minutes and one final journaling, and maybe we'll sing one song. We're going to fly.
There are times when I stand by a mirror to take a close look at myself. And the face that I see,
oops,
looking right back at me,
wish louder.
It was someone else. But there is only one you, a fragment of light from above, that would joyfully serve and cling to our shell. If only it knew the depth of his love. Time to leave your cocoon, my dear butterfly. Show yourself and the world just how very high you can fly, you can soar once you unlock the door. And Hashem will be there at your side. And Hashem will be there at your side.
A butterfly, if you study what a butterfly is, it's not a camera. But when a person finds Hashem, when a person takes that step into the light, they come out of the cocoon, and they're not a caterpillar anymore. You're a butterfly.
There are times when I hear music playing, but it's more a lament than a song. I'm so used to the pain of its tragic refrain that whispers, you don't belong.
But there is only one you, an neshama most precious and sweet. Our lives are a chorus in praise of Hashem. And when your voice is missing, the
song's incomplete.
Okay, we're going to pause here. Let's flip the page. There is a very fascinating medrash. And it's a story. And because it's dark, and I see some of you have your phones out.
Yeah, 1 second. Use my flashlight.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do a lot of it outside. And I'll share with you the story, and then I'll tell you where we're highlighting inside. There's a city in the Galil called Sipori. Mm-hmm. And in Sipori was a tailor called Yusta. Now, Yusta prided himself on being the best tailor of Sipori. And that was what he worked his whole life to be. I want to be the best tailor of Sipori. He would go out on Shabbos with pins pinned to him so that people would remember, ah, you're a tailor. And during the week, they would come and what? They would come to him so that he'd get an extra herring or an extra two coins. And at last, he reached the height of his career. The townspeople acknowledged him as the tailor of Sipori. Now, one day, we don't know what happened, and we would love to know what happened. Yusta disappears. Gone. And he was quickly forgotten. He's gone. And many trials and hardships overcame Yusta. You can read this at your own leisure. And he traveled to the capital city. And there, he worked his way through the higher echelons, and he got one day a meeting with the king. And the king said to him, Yusta, you have one wish. What is your request? You have found favor with me. I'll give it to you. And Yusta said, I would like to be the Duke of Sipori. The Duke is like the mayor. And he said, your wish is granted. And Yusta took his thread and made himself a beautiful outfit. And with a whole entourage, he came back to Sipori. Now, Sipori heard there was going to be a new duke. They didn't know who it was. He comes to town and people start whispering, he really looks like Yusta. We haven't seen Yusta. It can't be Yusta. It cannot be Yusta. That tailor cannot be him. And one day, the Duke, Yusta, says, I'd like to have a tour of the town. And the people came up with a plan. They came up with a plan. If he stops by the stall in the marketplace where he was the tailor for a few minutes, we know that what? It's him. He starts going through the town's marketplace, and when he got to his stall, he stopped. Yusta, you are Yusta! We knew it! You are Yusta! And Yusta himself heard it. Indeed, it seemed he had long anticipated this very moment. The Duke suddenly ordered the royal carriage to halt. He turned to the whispering crowd. And he says, ah, you marvel transformation that I underwent. You are utterly astonished, but know this, I am astonished even more than you. That is the Medrash. That's the Medrash. Now, Rav Ezrachi teaches us a Gevaldic lesson on this Medrash. So far, are you with me?
Yeah.
Without hemming and hawing, let's go on. All right, that went above your head. That's okay. We'll skirt the issue.
That's pretty good.
Rav Ezrachi raised. He says, the people's wonder at the poor tailor who had risen to become ruler of the city is clear. Yusta owned wonder at himself is also understandable. But why, asked Rav Ezrachi, does Yusta tell them that his astonishment is greater than theirs? He says, my astonishment is greater than yours. Why were they not at all marveling at the same miracle? I'm in K for those following along with me. Rav Israchi explained that no, their amazement and his astonishment were worlds apart. The people marveled at an enigma beyond their grasp. How a tailor could become a duke? Right? That's what they're wondering. A tailor is a duke? But Yusta was shaken by something far deeper. Let's take a careful look again and understand what he said to the people of Sipori. You wonder how Yusta the tailor became Duke Yusta? But I wonder something else entirely. How could Duke Yusta have ever been a tailor? If within me lay the talents, the gifts, the potential to rule, how could I have ever wasted the best years of my life hemming garments and mending buttons? I labored, I strove, and in the end, I won the great title of the Tailor of Sipori. What was it worth? Vanities. Was this to be the summit of my life? I, Duke Yusta, once thought the highest aspiration was a neighbor's torn cloth. And he continued, your amazement lies in how I have changed, which is indeed a wonder. Perhaps one day I'll even write a self-help book. But this is not the true marvel. The real wonder is, listen closely, I did not know my own soul. How could I, the tailor, not recognize myself? How could I have failed to see that the gifts within me were chariots prepared for greatness? And this, my friend, is our challenge. Do not remain tailors. You are rulers. Cast off the pettiness, the empty pursuits that consume your day. Think of eternity. Walk as one who knows he is eternal. And Yusta's cry filled the marketplace of Sipori. It lamented, I knew not my own soul. Don't be ignorant. Don't neglect yourself. Know yourself. Know your power. Aspire. God is with you. Our final journaling for tonight. And that is, why are we afraid to become a caterpillar?
A butterfly.
That's what I meant. That was a Freudian slip. Show yourself and the world just how very high you can fly, you can soar once you unlock the door. Hashem will be there at your side. And Hashem will be there at your side. A test of the heart. But you'll never, no, never have to walk it alone. Okay. Skip a line and reflect. We're skipping a line and reflecting.
Yes, ma'am. I reflect. I don't do so well with that second part.
This is the most important part. And I shame be away. You're writing from your head. I need you to write more from your heart.
Yes. You'll always be there.
I know. You have to work with me a whole year in school. Do you want to come to seminary? Who would like to share? This is a very important question. What's stopping us from being the Yusta, the Duke, the butterfly, Miriam?
Fear.
Fear of what?
Failure. Change. I'm fear of failure.
Fear of change. How many of you wrote fear of change?
Fear of failure.
How many fear of failure? Yeah. Another type of fear? Fear of others.
Really?
What other people think about you.
Judgment.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Miriam?
You mean if you're good once, you have to be good twice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people will look up to you and you'll have to maintain a certain...
Oh, my gosh.
Persona.
Could you imagine maintaining a persona? That's like, oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah. It's kind of daunting.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to share a reflection that they gained from this? Again, this is Elul. Elul is about taking a hard look at ourselves. Are we stuck? It's about really stopping and asking questions. We've asked a number of questions tonight in many different aspects of our lives. If we don't ask the questions, real questions, where am I going? What's stopping me from getting there? What do I need to do to get there? Am I the person who the Ribbono Shel Olam envisions me to be? Am I looking up and being able to really deal with the challenges that I have? Am I growing from these challenges? Otherwise, we're just going to go year after year and what? And we'll stagnate. And we're wondering like, oh, another Rosh Hashanah, been there, done that. Another one. How come I haven't changed? Why do I feel like I was 20 years ago? One of the reasons is because we don't stop and ask the questions. We just go on, okay, I have to say brachos with more kavana. I have to. But who are we? Where are we? What makes us us? It takes time, yes, and it takes a desire to answer these questions. You're right. Well, Vobel says in Elul you have to take an hour at least every week by yourself and be able just to do the self-examination, do this inner work. We're going to try Leiv Tahor one more time to come full circle. Let's close our eyes and think about what we've gained from tonight. Before we close, I'd like to end with a station identification announcement. There is an idea that Rav Dessler brings down that's of Zikui Arabi. When you are mezakeh, another person in mitzvos, then all of their growth goes on your bank account. And it's an incredible zach that, you know, you inspire somebody to say a bracha. So every time they say the bracha, every time their dore say the bracha, it goes in your bank account. And this is a schus in Chodesh Elul. So here is my pitch. But Sarah. Okay, who would like to just share a reflection on the evening as we were about to clean up?
I loved it because it was small. I have never been in such a small mission thing.
I love this.
Ever.
I love this. This was incredible.
So incredible. I love this
intimate.
I want to thank Sahab, first of all, for opening a beautiful home. Thank you, Fabi, for organizing with Barry. And thank you, Bashir, for coming all the way from Israel, Queens, and Brooklyn. I'm not sure where you came from in the end.